Leo is the ruler of the fifth house of the zodiac, also known as the house of pleasure. Leo the lion rules the heart, and those born under his sign are said to have a strong body and deep voice. Ted Leo of Ted Leo and the Pharmacist, not actually a Leo. He joins us in the studio now, free of the pharmacists, but he's plugged in and he's playing a special set for us. He's also playing tonight at the River to River Festival in Manhattan. Hi, Ted. How are you?
Hey, I'm all right, Mike.
I want to talk about the band name. It goes well with Ted Leo. You got six total letters in your name, so that gives you the freedom to have a pretty long and the name.
That's true.
Now, what are some backing band names that you've liked over the years?
Ooh, I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb here and say The News.
Yeah, definitely.
Huey Lewis and The News. That's a good band name.
Mm-hmm. Band name.
Yeah,
good
absolutely.
Band
yeah.
name.
Yes, yeah. Band name. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I like Graham Parker and The Rumor.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Nick Lowe and The Impossible Birds. That's
oh, yeah.
kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So what I like about pharmacists, mm-hmm. to really break it down, is that it's kind of funny because like this dodgy guy in a coat, but it's not Zany Zagnut. Like it's not Ted Leo and the forensic accountants. That would just be a goofy thing.
Yes, it would be.
Yeah, but it's workmanlike too. These guys are going to work, right? They're mixing something up and they're going to work. Mm-hmm. So it's better than the chefs.
it's fair to read. I've read a lot. I mean, it didn't come up with all of this kind of backstory to it, but I've added that in over the years.
Like yes,
mixing up the remedies and fix-its and poisons and a pretty pill and all that kind of
right.
stuff, you know?
Right.
But initially it was just that, like, I just thought it sounded cool.
It does. And your first Chisel, you thought maybe wasn't such a good name.
Well, that's actually when it came up. All of us were kind of sitting around at one, all the people in the band Chisel, and were sitting around at one point, I remember, and we're just like, wait, why are we in a band that's called Chisel again? how did that happen? And it was at that point that the idea for the name Pharmacists came up, and I was like, I'm definitely going to use that someday.
You want to play a song, then we'll talk a little more?
Sure, yeah.
All right, we can do that.
Right.
Intro it, if you will, Ted.
I'm kind of thinking about doing a cover. Are you guys okay with that?
Love it.
All right. I'm going to play this just because I woke up today singing it.
Okay.
And I figured, why not? So, yeah, it's called, it's by the Waterboys, and it's called Fisherman's Blues.
Well, I wish I was a fisherman tumbling on the seas, far away from dry land and its bitter memories, casting out my sweet line with abandonment and love, no ceiling bearing down on me but the starry skies above, with light in my hair, you in my arms. Woo-hoo! I wish I was the brakeman on a hurtling fever train, crashing headlong into the heartland like a bullet in the rain, with the beating of the sleepers and the burning of the coal, watching the towns just flashing by on a night that's full of soul, with light in my hair, you in my arms. Light in my hair, you in my arms. Woo-hoo! Faithful day, I will take you in my hand. I will ride speeding train. I will be the fisherman with light in my hair, you in my arms. Woo-hoo!
A lot of musicians, I bet you played, you know, growing up for hours and hours on end on the guitar, right?
I didn't actually start playing guitar till I was like 18.
Really?
Yeah.
Why'd you pick it up so late?
You know, I don't know. I was a fan, you know. I was a music fan. I just consumed music. And I sang in bands before I actually played in guitar in bands. But it just was, in terms of actually like, you know, taking the reins myself and doing something of my own, I was kind of content to just be a fan for a long time, you know.
Also in rock and roll and the kind of straight ahead rock and roll that you play, yeah, there's some sort of nostalgia for the guys who can only, you know, the Sex Pistols who can only play three chords, but musical craftsmanship gets a lot of respect. The singing voice, not so much, I find.
Yeah, I think in certain quarters, that's true. Yeah.
And especially if you're a lyricist, I'm also surprised how many guys write lyrics and they don't even care if the lyrics are intelligible. I never understood that.
Well, I mean, you know, there are different motivations for making music, and there are different theories about what, you know, art in general should be. And certainly there's a very valid portion of the art world that can be just entertainment, and
yeah.
Like, we all need that. I mean, you know, you can't deny like the power of like, you know, going to a go-go or you know what I mean, like these, you know, Smokey Robinson songs or something that just really has no point other than to just make you like dance and sing along. Like,
right.
That's fine, you know. And you know, and those are expressive of emotions that we all feel too. Like, I mean, I'm not, you know, I mean, even the most like angry political screed that someone might write, they're not always walking around in their lives feeling that way, you know. So there's a whole range of stuff that you should feel free to deal with, I think.
Now, speaking of political screeds or political songs, all your work has always been political. It seems to have gotten more so lately with the last album, more explicitly maybe. Is that fair?
Possibly. People say both things, actually. it's really true. Like, I kind of like, you know, there have been songs in the past, like on the Hearts of Oak album, there was the song The Ballad of the Sin Eater, which is, it's one of the more like kind of punchy political songs that I've ever written. And sometimes people seem to just want that over and over again, you know. And other times people really, you know, pull the Dixie Chicks thing. I mean, just say, well, why don't you just sing some love songs?
You know? Yeah, you can't really disinvite those people to the show. Right. But
right. Yeah, and you know, the thing is, like, I try these experiments at just writing love songs, and the kind of social issues creep in anyway. So.
Okay, so on the politics front. Jacob Gantz, who's our director, he has wanted to know the answer to this question for 7 years.
Okay.
So you get to answer a 7-year itch this guy's been having.
All right.
Your song,
That's rare that you get that opportunity.
Yep. Your song, The Great Communicator, yeah. Is that about Ronald Reagan?
No. It's not about Ronald Reagan. It's about kind of concepts of the English language. I wrote that back when the, like, Ebonics debate was flying all over the place and kind of, you know, just the idea that language should remain a living and evolving thing.
Yeah. All right, you want to play another one?
Sure.
All right, what do we got?
I'm going to play a new song that most of our new stuff is a lot. It doesn't really translate well to singer-songwriter-y, solo-y like a lot of my other stuff has. It's more like just kind of straightforward and punk. But I'm going to try it anyway.
Okay.
Because what the heck.
Cool. So. Tell me what it's called.
It is called The Mighty Sparrow.
Oh. Yeah. the Calypso legend.
Yeah, yeah.
Loved him.
So it's not actually about.
That's cool. Brown, but...
Okay.
When the cafe doors exploded, I reacted to you. Reacted to you. Reacted to you. Cast a death that sunny morning, I was coming to, and I'm coming to, coming to. Papers in the window, walks in, I was dancing to, my dance to you, my dance to you. Lifting up on wings of strangers, saw your face and knew. Then I saw you, red, white, and bruised. Silence for a moment, then singing, I thought I could hear. Singing, turn the sirens, is ringing, return to my ears. And the sirens called me back to their miserable rock. When you follow. Sirens is ringing, return to my ears. And the sirens called me back to the miserable rock. When you follow in the spell, I can only follow the clock. When the cafe doors exploded, I reacted to, reacted to, reacted to.
Great stuff right there.
Thanks, man.
Okay, so it wasn't about the Calypso guy, but
no,
he's like you in a way. I heard you were going to maybe do a musical about Guatemala and the banana trade. I'm just saying that because, you know, his lyrics weren't just, you know, Bob Marley, let's change the world. It was like about a specific dictator and this guy needs to go.
Absolutely, yeah. That's one of the amazing things about the history of, like, Calypso music. I mean, people really tend to only remember, like, the, you know, the banana boat song and stuff,
right.
But... I mean, to this day, it's you know, they call out, you know, specific politicians on the most specific of issues. You know, their songs. It's pretty interesting. But yeah, I did actually write the music for a musical that seems to be stalled in terms of production.
The Guatemala Banana Trade musical?
Yeah. It was, it's about, I mean, it's actually kind of, there's a romance, you know, that's the entree into the political sphere. There's a woman named Jennifer Harbury, who was a human rights lawyer who went to kind of document abuses and stuff on the front down there, and wound up falling in love with a rebel leader who was disappeared, and she spent years trying to recover his body. That's kind of where the story begins, and it delves into the history of not just the banana, you know, but the entire, you know, sordid story of American governmental and business dealings.
United Fruit.
Absolutely.
And I mean, these are why they're called banana republics.
Yeah.
Is this something that you're looking to do, maybe a musical or a soundtrack to a, you know, distinct piece of film, or, you know, put your songs in a context other than, you know, how you do them, live shows and albums?
It's not a priority for me. As a matter of fact, it's the kind of thing where, in terms of use of songs that I've written, it's got to be something that really makes a lot of sense to me. Not to be too precious, but, like, my songs are precious to me. You know,
want to emphasize that point, maybe a different adjective. Yeah. If you want to take it again, you can.
I stand by it.
Gem-like? I don't know.
But that's not to say that you know, right circumstances don't exist. You know, they I'm sure they do. I just haven't really found them yet.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ted.
Thanks for having me.
Will you be playing with the Pharmacist tonight?
Absolutely. Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
So Ted Leo and the Pharmacist playing at the River to River Festival in Manhattan. Check them out. Thanks a lot again, Ted.
Thank you.
Coming up, if your name is Bryant Parker, you're a boy. But if you are Parker Bryant, well, it could go either way. Next up, androgynous baby names and the most. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.